as we look at the simpleton, we see that the scripture describes this individual in great detail. The word pephi, the pephi, loves being simple. Proverbs 1:22 says that the simple person loves doing simple things, loves doing things that show they're gullible and immature.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us for the start of a new series titled Lessons to be Learned from a Song of Fools, with the first half of Chain of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Chain of Fools from our Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools.
I want to begin by saying that when I was off in the month of August, one of the things that I worked on was a series of messages when we enter into the new sanctuary. So I've got about five messages ready to go whenever we get there, and I'll be sharing those when the Lord opens that door. So in the meantime, in between time, the Lord laid on my heart another series. And so the title of the message this morning that we have is A Chain of Fools. And this actually is the first message in a series that I'm entitling Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. Lessons to be Learned from the Songs of Fools. And that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 5, where it says this: it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, Solomon is contrasting the lessons to be learned in times of sorrow opposed to the few lessons that we learn during the times of mirth. Oftentimes when I have the opportunity to speak at a homegoing service, I will use this passage because this is a time of reflection, that when you have lost someone who was near and dear to you, when you have lost someone that you love, it causes you to go into a state of contemplation. It causes you to begin to reflect on your own mortality, opposed to many of us that have gone to parties. You know, we've gone to graduation parties. We've gone to wedding parties. We've gone to birthday parties. If you were out there before you got saved, there were other kind of parties that we went to. And the fact of the matter is that we learn very little at those parties. And so what Solomon is saying is that there's more to be learned in times of bereavement and sorrow than there is to be learned in the times of mirth and happiness. One person put it like this: I walked a mile with laughter. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, in narrow words said she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. And so that's the message that Solomon is giving us in the first part of Ecclesiastes, is that there's more to be learned in the house of bereavement than there is to be learned in the house of mirth. And so he goes on to say that you can, in those times, learn more from the wise than you can from the song of fools. Well, there is such a thing as the songs of fools. And in this passage, Solomon is saying there's very little that you can learn from the song of fools. But in this series of messages, I want to say that there are many things that we can learn from the song of fools. So, fools sing a song with their lives. Fools sing a song with their lives. And we want to learn the lessons that fools sing. As we consider the song of fools, in this series, we will look at their words, their deeds, and their consequences. And pray to God that we as God's people, that the only fools that we would be is fools for Christ. Otherwise, to be a fool is to do things that will end up in situations that we don't want to be in. The word foolish actually means lacking good sense or judgment. It means unwise. And so, anytime that you make a decision that lacks good sense or judgment, or anytime that you make an unwise decision, you're being foolish. Now, I put together a little test, and it's called the foolish test. And we're going to test your Bible IQ. You don't have to shout these answers out loud. You can say them to yourself, right? We're going to test your Bible IQ. God abundantly blessed me and my wife, but we made the foolish decision to eat that which was forbidden. Y'all know who that is, right? Adam and Eve, right? The Lord promised my wife and myself a son. But when it didn't happen according to our timetable, we foolishly took the situation into our own hands. Abraham and Sarah. So even God's people, even people who are right with God, make foolish decisions. So don't think that you are off the hook today. Because at some point in time, and hopefully all of us in the past, that we've made foolish decisions. But for some of us, foolish decisions are still ahead in our future. Here goes one that you might not know. I tried to throw a hard one in there. I did not seek the Lord and was fooled by my enemies, the Gibeonites, to make a peace treaty with them. Gideon. Joshua. Joshua. He was fooled by the Gideonites and made a peace treaty with them. I made a foolish decision to not go to battle when kings go out to war, and it led to a series of bad choices and consequences. David, yeah, that's right. Even though I said I would never deny Christ, I made the foolish decision to not only deny him once, but three times. Peter. My wife and I made a foolish agreement to lie about how much we received for some land that we sold. Ananias and Sapphira. And then the last one. I was blessed with an abundance of produce. Instead of sharing with those in need, I made the foolish decision to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. The rich fool. So we see in the scriptures there are people who have made many foolish decisions. So the title of the message today in this series is Chain of Fools. Chain of Fools. And as we look at the book of Proverbs, we see the chain of fools listed for us. We see, first of all, there is the simpleton. Secondly, there is the hard-headed. Third, there is the closed-minded. And fourth, there is the scoffer or the mocker. These are a chain of fools that are listed in the book of Proverbs. And hopefully, you do not identify today with this chain of fools. I like what I heard about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He would often get notes after he was done preaching. Some people complimenting and some people being critical. One day, he received a note, and all the note said was fool. And Spurgeon got up and he said, I often receive notes from people who don't sign them. Today I received one from somebody who signed it and didn't leave a message. So, hopefully, you're not in that category where you would sign your note, fool. It's interesting. In the Hebrew language, in English, yeah, we see the word fool and we read the word fool. But as we look at the Hebrew language, there are different nuances of the word fool. And that's what I want to point out today as we look at the different types of fool. The first type of fool that we see is called the pethi. And this is the simpleton. And he is found throughout the scriptures, but specifically in the book of Proverbs. The pethi, the Hebrew word, actually means to be open. And this, now watch this. The word open, to be open. And it means that this person is open to be led astray because he is gullible and immature. And we all know people who are gullible, people that you could sell oceanfront property to in Kansas and they would buy it. They're gullible. People who believe anything that you tell him. As we look at the simpleton, we see that the scripture describes this individual in great detail. The word pethi, the pethi, loves being simple. Proverbs 1:22 says that the simple person loves doing simple things, loves doing things that show they're gullible and immature. The simple person believes every word. You can tell them anything, and the simple person believes it. The simple person sees evil and passes right by and ends up in dire straits or dire consequences. The simple person that we all know. Maybe we have dealt with people who are simple, and we say to them, man, you need to wake up. You need to think. You know, you need to think. And that is the concept of dealing with the simpleton. Last week, we went to the powwow. And as we were at the powwow, my wife said to me that there was a little boy that looked just like our grandson. And I looked and I said, man, he looks just like my 10-year-old grandson. Just like him. And about 10 minutes later, a little boy came and he said that my grandson had pushed him down. And I asked my grandson, no, I didn't push him down. Well, come to find out that he thought it was my grandson, but it was actually this other little boy that pushed him down. And we said, look, there's another little boy right over there. That's the boy that pushed you down. And the little boy said, he deserves a bullet. And I think it was me, my wife, one of my older grandsons, we all said at one time, no, no! You know? And just to think, here was this 10-year-old little boy that said, he deserves a bullet. And, you know, you look at that, and we think about the pathy, the simpleton. You know, why is it that people shoot people over a pair of sunglasses? People shoot people over a pair of tennis shoes. Well, I believe that there's some demonic forces behind it. I definitely believe that. But I believe a part of the two is that these people are just simple. And they haven't learned how to distinguish between what's right and wrong. What are some of the things that the petit says? What are some of the things that the foolish person says? He says it's all right to lie. It's unbelievable. People believe that it's all right to lie. And, you know, I know that they say, well, people lied in the scripture. Well, let's go back before we accuse people of lying. Let's go back and study what the scripture is saying. Let's go back and get the context of it. Let's go back and look at it, right? But there are people that believe it's all right to lie. That's the words of a simpleton. There are people who says, I don't think I'll get hooked on drugs by trying it one time. Fool! Fool! It's okay to hang out with people who do questionable things. Fool. These are the words of a fool. There's nothing wrong with me exploring my sexuality outside of biblical boundaries. Fool. You know, again, what does foolish mean? Unwise. That's making unwise decisions. What is it that the simpleton needs more than anything else? The simpleton needs a lot of things, right? They need a lot of things. But the one thing they need more than anything else is discernment. Is discernment. Hebrews 5:14 in the English Standard Version says, constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That they need this ability to be able to distinguish good from evil, right from wrong. What's healthy and what's unhealthy. That the petite walks down in Proverbs 7. And I preached that passage here on several occasions where the foolish one went by the house of the harlot, right? Well, guess what the word there is for the fool or the young one? It's petite. He walked by the house thinking that nothing was wrong. He needed discernment. He needed to realize that he was traveling down the wrong road. He needed to have the understanding of what is right or wrong. And so, sad to say that sometimes we see the simpleton right among us making these unwise decisions. And so this is the first one in the chain of fools. The second one that we see in the chain of fools is what the Hebrew writer calls the hard-headed one or the evil. The evil, right? And the word evil, I love these Hebrew word pictures, right? The pati means to be open, you know, have an open mind to the wrong things. Whereas this right here, this word actually refers to one who is thick brain, right? In other words, this refers to a person who is hard-headed, you know? And the hard-headed person doesn't want to listen to the instructions of his father. Proverbs 15:5 says the evil will not obey the instructions of his father. Many of us may have been evils as we grew up. Our parents tried to tell us things that were right for us, and we didn't want to listen to them. And so, sadly, for some of us, we suffered the same consequences with our kids as they grew up. You know, we tried to tell them stuff, and they didn't want to listen. You know, I heard the story about a man, this was back in the day, who was selling a set of encyclopedias. Now, today, we don't even need encyclopedias, right? If you invested $300, $400, $500 back in the day in a set of encyclopedias, they are pretty much worthless today, right? Because you can get anything. It's interesting. Somebody will ask a question, you know, how old was such and such when they died? And all you got to do, how old was such and such when they, and it'll tell you in less than probably 5 seconds, right? Information, you know, right at your hand. That's why Daniel talked about, you know, knowledge shall increase. The speed of knowledge shall increase. So there was a guy who, back in the day, he had a set of encyclopedias, and he bought them for his son. And he posted an advertisement that said encyclopedias for sale, and they were going at a real cheap price. And somebody asked him, why are you selling them so cheap? He said, well, I bought them for my son, but he already knows everything. So. I bought them for my son, but he already knows everything. And isn't that the testimony of young people growing up? Hard-headed. They think they know everything. Don't want to listen to anyone. I remember years ago, a young lady came up to me. She was probably about 15, 16 years old. Godly young lady. And I remember she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, Pastor, I don't agree with everything that my parents want me to do. You know, there are things that I don't agree with. She said, but because they're my parents and because God has placed them as my authority, I listen to what they tell me to do. I was like, whoa! How refreshing is that? Right? That somebody would actually say, man, you know, I don't agree with everything that my parents say and what they, but you know what? Because they're the authorities in my life, I'm going to follow what they say. But this person is hard-headed. And not only does he not listen to the instructions of his father, but he thinks he is right when he is wrong, and nobody can change his mind. We all know people like that. You know, they keep trying to put that square peg into the round hole. You can't do it, but you can't tell them that. Why? Because they're hard-headed. What are some of the things that the Evil says? I'm doing things my way. My parents don't know what they're talking about. You can't tell me what to do. Here goes one right here. You know what? You try to tell them something from the word, right? And this is the big thing that people are saying today. Well, you know, that's your reality. That's your reality. Hard-headed, right? No, this is not my reality. This is what the word of God says. Here goes one. I don't care what the Bible says. This is what I believe. And then, sadly, I've heard this one on more than one occasion, that because God didn't work the way I thought he should work, because my mama died or my baby died, you know, I'm walking away from my faith in God. You know what? You know, again, I know that people who lose loved ones, I know they're hurting. And definitely we want to minister, you know, to people who have lost loved ones because they are hurting. But the worst thing that you can do is walk away from the one who can help you. Because now what you're saying is that instead of casting all my cares on him, because he cares for me, I'm going to take them all on myself. That is a foolish decision. But that is the word and the words of the Evil, the one who is hard-headed. What does this person need? This person needs a good dose of humility. They need to be humble. Now, again, I'm just picking out one main thing. There's probably a lot of other things that they need, so don't think that this one thing will take care of it all, because they probably need other things too. But I'm just saying, as a rule, hard-headed people, as a rule, hard-headed people.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Chain of Fools. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Chain of Fools, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Chain of Fools. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Chain of Fools. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed into storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.